party's a bore. Accompany me to the laboratory and I'll show you my latest creation.
That would be lovely.
The monster coming along.
The storm approaches, Master. It's time. It's time.
Excellent.
Main power to maximum. Biogenic generation engaged. Raise the monster.
Yes. Yes.
It's time for the...
Yes, it's time.
Okay, now you can cut off the intro now.
Yeah.
we had one of our guys write it. Who is it? Brad, or who is it?
We have a little listener here. Brian. Okay. And apparently...
Hi, Brian.
He said, on your August 8th, 1906 podcast, you went over 5 minutes before you turned the music off. I paid good money for your podcast and expect to get everything I paid for. But seriously, I want to hear more of you and less of the music.
Okay, well, I told him we'd refund his money.
Well, and again, I did like the fact that you had that subscription service idea.
That's right.
Yeah. The next 100,000 people to sign up for the Jimmy Dolan Show email list, they get a $1 discount off the $1 lifetime subscription fee.
We're talking serious discount here.
Right.
This is great.
That's a 100% discount.
Folks. That's right.
Even
including the rounding error.
It's an amazing deal. The only reason why I rolled the music long, I stopped the music when we go into our first topic.
We like the music.
Well, we love the music.
We do, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Our show.
And the only
Rugulator.
The Rugulator working. But, I roll the music until we get into the first topic. So if we're long-winded and the music goes long, there's only one person that's responsible for that, and his name rhymes with
Jimmy. Thank you. Here we are at the end of August. We are,
26th,
something like that.
Yep.
Okay, 26th, Saturday night, 8 o'clock, and we got Jack Rhodes.
Hey, it's good to see you.
Show. Jack is back. That's right. We got Counsel Curtis, so we have answering legal questions.
Yes, I must say.
And the Mixmeister himself.
The sliming in the door.
That's right. The Mixmeister, Eric the engineer. That's great. And Jimmy. Okay, that's great. Well, we have had voluminous emails this week.
It's a deluge.
Exponential increase.
Exponentially a lot.
200-300% increase. So we're now up to 6.
Because we got one.
I just want to say hello to John and Patty. Patty from Ocala. Really love the stuff she's been sending.
Right.
Love it.
Man, Edith has also written. Edith actually wrote a letter in the mail.
A snail mail.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Brad and Brandon. Everybody's name to give me. Brad, Brandon, Sam.
Uh-huh. Well, we're starting at the beginning of the alphabet with our fan list.
That's right. So we're having it. It's really good. Jimmy is not. This show is going to be a little disconnected today.
I do want to give a shout out to my friend John, who I met last night as a big time libertarian. So, hey, John.
Oh, yeah. Hey. Well, Ben's brand new, too. I just got some cool stuff from him. I wrote a big long thing on the gold standard, which I have to do it again to
work out. So.
John, I think it is.
John,
That's great. So it'll be a lot of fun. Anyway, the shows are going to seem to be a little disconnected today because some of the light notes actually dovetail very nicely with our, quote, heavy notes or dark notes or whatever.
Dark notes.
The super dark notes, that's right. The chocolate rain naked notes. Those are the brown notes. Brown notes, okay. That's right.
The notes so dark, light cannot escape.
That's right. The black hole of notes. Jimmy had to go down to St. Petersburg last night to visit with Grandma for a while. Uh-huh. He wanted to go to a ham fest.
Right.
And of course, I forgot to take the map down with me.
Uh-huh.
And I asked my little niece to go on the
guy. Who needs a map?
Well, yeah, true.
Right.
No, I'm a guy. I don't ask directions. We understand that.
Right.
So I knew about where it was, and I got down there, and I asked my little niece, I said, well, listen, would you get on the internet and find the map for me? So she finds a map like to Sarasota or something.
Right.
I mean, it was like totally useless.
St. Petersburg, Russia.
That's right, exactly. Yeah, exactly, right. I'm looking for Tampa, you know, California. So anyway, needless to say, I didn't go. I did hit a couple of garage sales, though, which is good. So I might make a dollar.
Did you win anything?
I have not won anything this week. No, I have. It's been a losing week.
Any big finds at the garage sale?
Nah, kind of a loser deal, you know.
Gotta keep at it, though.
Yep, well, that'll be it. We have next one.
Hey, okay. We got a couple new listeners from around the world here. We got somebody from Morocco.
All right.
We got somebody from...
That's not Iraqo.
No,
Morocco.
Antwerp.
Antwerp.
Yep.
Belgium.
Yep.
Ooh, big trouble, big doings over there, too, recently. They're having some poop stuff, big ding Muslim stuff.
Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Okay, nope. Good. No, that's about time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jeez Louise.
Kalamazoo, that's a big famous song from the Big Band era. Okay, fine. Oh, anyway.
Oh, and by the way, speaking of Big Band era, Maynard Ferguson died.
Oh!
And, yeah, you know, one of the world's greatest trumpet players, of course, probably the world's greatest trumpet player. And he's good friends with Will, our buddy Will Hammond.
And now, Will Hammond is related to your B3 in the other room, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. His great uncle.
We have got the Leslie and everything here.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, you got to have that.
Yeah.
But anyway, I did have a...
it's nice in Jimmy's house. What's interesting is about 3,000 square feet, and you have to walk through tunnels to get any place because I got so much crap here.
Tunnels of books.
I did like the quote his manager said, you know, when he died, he says, well, move over, Peter. Move over to second trumpet now. In heaven, yeah. So I thought it was pretty good. But I did have a little Maynard track here. I'll listen to that. He's known for hitting his very, very high notes.
What about Louis?
I don't have Louis. Louis, is he dead?
Armstrong.
Oh.
He died.
Right.
Wasn't he any good?
But not yesterday.
Wasn't he any good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, I just wanted to say that, so too bad.
Let's get into it.
Okay. All right.
Okay, actually, here's my list so far, and you guys could chime in anytime you want.
All right.
Prudhoe Bay, the leak with the pigs. Of course, we talked about the pigs on one of the shows, and I'm going to just touch on that for a second.
All right.
Ray Nagin, Katrina, all that kind of stuff. Big doings,
yep,
down there.
Sprinkly.
Lots of
big comments.
Comments there. The also, I don't know, Counsel Curtis, I sent you this thing on the Constitution versus counterterrorism.
Yes, got it.
Do you want to talk about that?
Got it, read it. Okay. We'll slice and dice.
Okay, fine.
Tear that one apart.
Also, of course, as you know, here in Florida, we have elections like not this week, but next week. The primaries are coming up. And
people are already standing on the streets.
Stand on the streets with their waving the signs, right. Because we have early voting here in Florida, which is unbelievable. But believe it or not, some of the biggest races are for school board of all things. I'm going to talk about that a little bit. Also, the new Survivor Season 13 or something is coming out.
Whoa.
Survivor Cook Islands, and it's going to be designated by race. And I don't mean like triathlon.
Race and go.
No, I'm talking about, you know, color of your
black,
skin.
Blacks, whites, reds.
Yellows. Yep, yellows too.
My money's on the Asians.
Yeah. Yeah, your money's on the Asians. I don't think it's the problem is I don't think it's a math competition.
Oh, no. Master race entry.
No, we're going to talk about that a little bit. So, and then also when I first read the headline, said they're giving Pluto the boot. I thought
no longer a planet.
Well, I thought that they had kicked Mickey Mouse's dog, but I guess not. Okay.
Well, apparently the astrologers aren't too upset about that.
That's what I think is it. We're going to talk about that,
okay.
And then of course we've got some light notes.
Oh,
has to do with sex toys. You want to stay tuned for that.
Absolutely.
And Hitler, new update on Hitler,
mm-hmm.
And that's about it. Unless you guys got some stuff too. I did notice.
We'll sprinkle a few more things.
So anyway, let's
Prudhoe Bay.
Which actually, as I say...
Fill our listeners in. Tell us
okay,
a little
what
bit.
Happened was BP, who is British Petroleum,
okay,
found a leak. And I think that they spilled, you know, 100,000 gallons of oil or whatever.
Just 100,000 gallons.
It's nothing. I mean, believe it or not, the thing ships like 400,000 barrels an hour or day or something
leak.
Down there. It's nothing. They found it. And I forget what it was about four or five shows ago. Well, in fact, we've talked about it several times. Jimmy actually has walked the line. And has actually been up there and patted that oil line, the thing that goes from Prudhoe Bay down to Valdez on its side, and we talked before about the pigs.
Right.
And the fact that, unfortunately, it's ruined Jimmy's story because the pigs have been in all the news.
Right.
I don't know. In every newspaper you see, they actually have pictures of the pigs that they send down. Smart pigs, dumb pigs, medium pigs, whatever right. it is.
And what are these pigs? What
the
are
pigs are these machines, actually.
Right.
And Jimmy tells a story in a previous podcast about when he was up there.
So not a real pig.
Not a real pig. But believe it or not, until a week ago,
right.
a substantial majority, I would say about half the world of the female-type persuasion believed that they were talking about...
Now, that's not very fair to our female listeners.
It was totally fair. It was totally fair, and I'll tell you why. Because when I got on the bus and asked everybody on the bus to raise their hand as to who thought there was a barnyard animal that went oink, only women raised their hands.
So your technological scientific survey,
right. Yeah. Statistically significant.
Statistically, let me tell you, that's within a, what do you call it, reasonable margin of error, I can say 100%. So anyway, that's that. Now that, unfortunately, that joke won't work anymore.
All right, so what happened with his leak? So it was leaking.
So anyway, it leaked, and everybody's all bent out of shape because they're saying that, gosh, this is why we shouldn't drill, which is a joke. And one of the things that, this literally is the same as if you spilled, if you jiggled your coffee cup out by the municipal pool here, you know, that's how much damage was done. I mean, give me a break. And they're basically, people are talking about shutting it down, and they don't want to drill in the other place that they want to drill.
Right.
You know, there's still tea in the Boston Harbor,
and that must account for what's going up in Boston, because those guys are nuts. talk about a people that started off with the libertarian bent and went totally commie socialist on us. The Boston people are them.
Anyway. Did we skip topics?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Wait, come back.
Prudeau.
So anyway, the deal is that it turns out that there's no difference in how the amount of gas is being done. And there's a lot of things that have to do that this is, shall I say, resurrected all the conservation business.
Shut it all down.
Well, one of the things it finds, of course, in the article, they were talking about what the various states have done. California, you know, now is mandatory 10% ethanol, which is good for ADM and the corn industry.
And bad for world food
bad
consumption.
Bad for everything. I mean, the whole carbon footprint, you know, bottle, yada, yada. I mean, it's just such a joke. But the thing about it that dovetails with this has to do with the new, and I'm going to, this is kind of a, I think this is a segue, correct me if I'm wrong, has to do with the new 100 mile per gallon cars.
All right, these hybrids you're talking
about? These are hybrids. What they've done is, at least one of, and I forget whether it's Honda or Toyota, they've got the, one of those.
It's got to be Honda, right?
Could be. They're both, the Prius, I think, is the Toyota, though, isn't it?
And that is.
Okay,
yes.
And then the, whatever, the, not the Odyssey, but one of the other. Anyway, what these hybrids do, of course, they got an engine. And then they have batteries. And when they can use the batteries, they use the batteries. And when they can use the engine, they use the engine to charge the batteries. That sounds like my car.
Yeah.
Except for the backfiring, we need to have a little backfire.
Yeah. So these hybrids are the answer.
Well, remember now, one of the problems you've got with battery-operated cars is you've got to plug them in every couple hundred miles, and there's no place to do it. I mean, if you're certainly not going to go cross-country on a battery car. Around town's fine, like a golf cart or something. But the hybrids, the nice thing about them is they use regular gas. You know, you can, if you want to, you can turn off the battery and use it like a regular car. And in the meantime, it can charge up the battery so that you'll save gas and whatever it is. Now they're what they're doing to get the 100 miles to go, let's get about 40, 50, 60 or something like that. In order to up to the 100 miles, they are putting in larger batteries so that you can go further on the, and then the lithium ion. And they have a $12,000 replacement for one of these cars where they take out 78 pounds of batteries and put in 250 pounds of batteries. And now you can go twice as long or three times as long or something like that. And
do they explode like Apple computers?
Well, that's interesting. You should mention that because they are lithium ion, but they don't come from Sony. So I don't know.
Not yet.
Yeah. I got to take
Sony's
my,
taking a hit.
Well, I've got one of those laptops. I'm going to have to.
A Dell? No, you've got that.
My Dell laptop is like an antique.
It's
like
on fire right now.
It's on as we speak.
No,
I've got a really old one that's running. Windows 1 or something. But no, I do have an iBook, and I'm going to have to get the battery changed on that. Okay. Coming back, losing my train of thought here.
All right.
The thing about it that I thought was interesting is I haven't done the math on this yet, but it's $12,000 to get your mileage from 60 to 100 miles to the gallon. My guess is that $12,000 would buy you about a million gallons of miles. You know, I mean, to pay for that, would be,
but it's environmentally friendly.
I understand, you know, carbon foot. Well, is it? That's the other thing.
So it's the cost of being environmentally
friendly. Well, the thing about it is, if everybody, as they say, were to go ahead and plug in, what would happen down here at Deerhaven power plant? I mean, they'd have to, you know, they are the biggest polluter here in Alachua County. Deerhaven is right, far away.
This is our electric
company. Our electric company. And so you can imagine what would happen if they had to build another one just like it to power up everybody's car. So, I mean, you get the pollution either there or out. And I'll tell you, it's pretty clean out here. I know I got a newsflash for you. When you drive up and down the roads here, it's not like there's belching clouds of smoke like there was when I was growing up.
Right.
So, anyway, the point is... Yeah. So anyway,
well, this reminds me
of
like
what this brings up to is, will this help us in conservation and use any less gas? And Jimmy's answer is no. It turns out that every time the price of gas goes down or the mileage goes up, either the same or more gasoline is actually used. Because why? People tend to fly more and drive more because it's cheaper, and so they'll go further instead of driving down to the store once a week. They'll go down 10 times if the price is right, or if they're getting great mileage. They say, well, I don't care. They end up spending the same amount of money and using more gasoline. I mean, it's funny when you see this statistically. I mean, they've done all the studies on this. And it's funny because you'd think that in order to wean ourselves, which you never have understood this part, to wean ourselves, energy independence, they call it, which is never going to happen. And actually shouldn't happen. I don't understand what the big deal is on that. We're not independent on half the things we pull into this country. We're not independent on, you know,
we want to be interdependent, not independent.
Well, you say that, but they in the papers they always talk about it, energy independence.
Well, there's a bunch of people out there who want America to be independent of everything.
Right.
So that we have all our own stuff.
Right.
But then we're not part of the world market.
Well, not only that, there's stuff you couldn't do. Give you an example. The catalytic converters, they're made with what? It's cadmium. What is it in there? It's what is the metal that is used as the catalyst in the catalyst? Anyway, we don't have any of that metal, whatever it is. So good luck. I mean, it's stuff like that. There's tons of stuff that we just don't have, and we don't have rubber trees.
So what is it? If the hybrid cars aren't going to work, well, what is it? Just better.
Market. Trust the market. The market will figure this out. I mean, it's amazing. The market figured it out late years ago when we went from candles to whale oil to kerosene to get the market figured it all out. It's these guys in there monkeying around with the market that think they have the answer to everything, and they don't trust the market. They don't trust the self-correcting mechanism of the market. And the simple fact is that the market is such a brilliant thing. It's smarter than anybody, and it's driven by profits. It's driven by the vote of everybody every day, every minute. Every time you walk out the door and part with one of these dollars, you are voting in the market and you affect it. And if there's huge profits, and of course, percentage-wise, believe it or not, the profits in the oil industry are not that great. People are screaming that they're making, you know, $37 billion. Yeah, well, that's on, you know, on how much money we're talking about.
On $36 billion dollars worth of investment.
Let me put it this way. The kid's lemonade stand down the road here made a 5,000% profit on the crap he was selling because he was paying nothing for the lemons. And he was selling it for a buck of glass. I mean, they should arrest him. Actually, they did because he didn't have a license.
That's right. So, yeah.
Was he using real lemons or just mixed?
To be honest with you, I don't know. It was yellow, which is a little scary. So I don't know what he was using, and I didn't try it. But anyway, the point is that it's people talk when it's to their advantage, they'll talk about the quantity of the profits, i.e. it's $10, $13, $15 billion. And when it's to their other advantage, they'll say it's the percentage. Well, it's the percentage is what matters. The fact is the oil companies are making 8%, 6%, or whatever it is. But it's profits that tell people, that's the message, automatic, where do you put your money? That's where you make your investment. You're certainly not going to invest in a business that's losing its ass. I mean, the simple fact is...
Well, the government will.
Exactly. I mean, that is precisely correct. They will make a loan where no sane person would make it because it's a political decision. And that's your money. And then, of course, we're gonna dovetail into this down in... right now, we're going to switch to Nagin.
So what you're saying is give the invisible hand a fair shake.
Give it the only shake. It's like
give it a shake.
It's like after you've gone to the bathroom, give it that shake. No. Okay. No, not there. Okay.
Chocolate
for guys.
City.
That was for guys. Yeah. Chocolate City. Ray Nagin.
He's always got a comment.
He always does. Well, I comment. He got. Some people were not too happy about his comment.
His New York.
Yeah, New York.
I like chocolate.
I like chocolate. At the end of the article, they say that chocolate. His, at the end here, he says...
Mayor Chocolate.
Mayor,
look,
he says...
My gang, which I can't talk about because it's super secret, is the most important thing to me now. And if you two don't like it, you can just pass the blunt to the nigga on your left.
Oh! All right! Oh! Wait, wait. Somebody hacked into what? Our... Somebody hacked into our sound site. What? Oh, my God.
You can't say
damn
that.
South Park. Can you imagine? So anyway, Negan, what he does, he says... when they were talking about the... Apparently, there's going to be a show on, like, tonight or tomorrow night... about the, of course, all the shows.
Spike Lee is doing a documentary.
Spike Lee
is,
that's coming on the 29th, which was the day they hit the groundfall. Hey, landfall. Hello. Landfill.
Groundhog.
Yeah, whatever, yeah. The 29th. And he's got like a four-part miniseries or something that's going to... Anyway,
Rage-a-thon.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. The Rage-a-thon. That's right. We don't like white people because, you know, the Ninth Ward went underwater. Whatever. Anyway, Chocolate Ray says, you guys in New York can't get a hole in the ground fixed and it's 5 years later.
Oh!
So anyway, the chairman of the Lower Manhattan Development Corporation and the agency created to oversee the rebuilding of the World Trade Center site in downtown Manhattan said that tremendous progress has been made in Lower Manhattan.
We put the fire out.
You know,
well, that's true.
Yeah, they got the whole. They don't even have the whole dug right yet. What kind of? You know,
they got all the other stuff out of there though.
Well, that's true.
Right.
And they haven't
that
done that in New Orleans.
That is tremendous in itself.
Right. They said, well, there's so much involved in this. Of course, in New Orleans, they haven't even begun to clear out the debris. They've condemned like I don't know 6,000 or 7,000 or 8,000, 10,000, 15,000. I think they've condemned. They've like destroyed like eight.
Well, so
eight of them, not 8,000
total.
Right. Yeah, and of course the levees doesn't. And we're going to talk about this too because Ernesto, the Cuban invasion is coming as we speak. Could be here by
the new hurricane.
Yes.
Is it Ernesto? Yes.
INS didn't count on that coming.
No,
along.
That's right. What are you going to use for levees in the next week and a half, folks?
Wall this out.
Yeah, right. So maybe
let's just find the hurricane.
Well, they found it. It's supposed to. I think it's coming. Coming in from Cuba.
Yeah.
It's another Mario boat lift.
I'm ready.
Yeah, I'm ready too. Hell yeah.
It's Raul.
Raul. No, it's Ernesto. Ernesto Cuba.
No, from Cuba.
So anyway, the point is that tremendous progress has been made, and the point is that in New Orleans, they haven't bothered to clear the stuff away yet. What I find also interesting has to do with the money. Congress has allocated something like $100 billion to rebuild New Orleans. And, I mean, that's even more than they're going to...
Of our money.
Of our money, right. Well, something like 177...
I don't even go to New Orleans.
I've been there once or twice, had a good time, but I'm, you know, going to be a while
for... I might go now since I paid for it.
That's true. Unfortunately, if you went over there, you get to pay for it again.
Have I already paid for my hotel room? Or
no.
Maybe you got to pay a little more for that.
Sorry. But the deal is that they can't... No, it's the paperwork. They've allocated, I think, something like $87 billion and something like $177 million. I don't know the numbers, but it's a rounding error so far that's actually been dispensed. And what they're telling you is, the reason is...
They're saving up for a rainy day.
I guess, and it's on its way. Ernesto is going to come there and Yuba on you. So anyway, the point is that it turns out that the real storm is the paperwork. they have to fill out, I mean, mountains,
right.
Mountains of forms. And this is so classic of a declining, of a decadent civilization is when the procedure is more important than the results. And that's all they care about. It's a procedure. And the word procedure applies, is in this article, like, I don't know how many times. They have procedures for the procedure.
Right.
Yeah, I'm sorry, how do you do
it's
that?
It's Hermes' wet dream is what it is.
God, it's unbelievable. You know, of course, then they call out the race card. I mean, they talk about everything but actually doing the work.
Right.
And of course, they're screaming for my money, you know, federal money, which is my money. Mm-hmm. It's not like Florida didn't have any hurricanes.
No.
And we're
good. We cleaned up. We're moving along.
But we're rich. So, I don't know. No, but I mean, it's interesting that they're all upset because one of the first major projects is Donald Trump.
That's right.
Trump Towers is going to put in a 68... What, a 68 story? 68 stories, can you imagine?
That's big.
Big.
Is it
luxury, super luxury Trump Towers. You know, he always wants a Trump Towers in every town he can get one. Come on down to Gainesville. Mr. Raccoon Hair on Head or whatever. Okay, no, it's anyway, you're fine. Okay. No, so the deal is that...
So he's putting it in New Orleans?
And they're complaining. They're complaining because they're saying New Orleans is going to be rich people Yeah, and I'm
just going to be those rich people.
Yeah, and your point is, what? I mean, you know, the poor people have all left. I mean, they're living in Houston or in Arkansas or someplace. I mean, what I don't understand is why would you be begging to have poor people come into your community? I mean,
if it was you. If you were poor.
but I mean, you're living someplace, okay? And what are you going to get by going back to New Orleans? Come on back to New Orleans and
you're gonna get a bath.
And stay poor? I mean, I don't understand the logic behind asking poor people to come back. If I were in a community like that, it'd be like Naples, you know, the poor people can stay out here on the donut fringes.
Right.
You know, come in and do the yard work and then go home.
Donut.
Yes, exactly. Donut, right. So anyway, that's anything else you got on New Orleans,
no,
Katrina?
I agree with you. Like you said, why?
So it may turn out, of course.
So where is the Trump Tower going to be?
Right downtown now.
Yeah, you know, and it's going to be on stilts.
Well, that's what I was saying.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, you know, you can imagine.
Boat parking on the first
floor. Well, not only that, I would imagine that ground floor condos would be going pretty cheap. You know, it's the penthouse where the big money
is. Yeah, it's an aquarium.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, could do that. Yeah. See, you know, live aquarium.
Right.
You see, you know, squids and sharks sailing through. Right, that's right. That's good. Well, but one thing, at least the JonBenet thing will take a back seat here for the next couple of days while they have the Katrina or the New Orleans Katrina channel for the next 3 or 4 days until the 29th at least.
Until the next hurricane.
Has Geraldo surfaced at all? I haven't seen him in a long time.
To be honest with you, that's right. In the what do they call the gumbo of New Orleans?
The Flotsam gumbo.
The Flotsam and the gumbo of New Orleans, right? No, I haven't seen him. I'm surprised. Everybody else has shown up down there just about. But it'll be interesting, I guess, to get. I don't know if I'm going to watch it, but the Spike Leal. I wonder if it's going to be a hate-a-thon, white hate-a-thon. If you're white, you're bad or something kind of thing. He's done that before. I don't know. Done.
Okay.
Moving on. What's next? Anybody got anything?
Constitution versus commentary.
Curtis, do you want to talk about that?
I want to talk about it.
Okay, let me tell you where this started was. So there's an article. This is from the Wall Street Journal. I thought this was fascinating. It really got me. Tuesday, August 22nd. It's an op-ed piece by this guy named Richard Posner.
Yeah.
Who is apparently a fairly famous attorney. And is he a judge?
Yeah,
he's a federal circuit judge. And he wrote an article on the Constitution and counterterrorism. Now, the reason I was interested in this, did we talk about last time about the NSA surveillance?
You did.
Right, and the fact that I said my take on this has always been that if you lose what makes you an American, i.e., if you lose your privacy, if you lose the right to be able to do anything, if you lose your freedoms in the name of not getting killed by a bomb, then you've lost America.
It's the old Ben Franklin quote. The old Ben Franklin quote about people who are willing to sacrifice their essential liberties to gain a little bit of security deserve neither.
And in fact, somebody else added that they will get neither. In fact, they will get neither. Right. So, I mean, that's where I stand very firmly on that. And that's one of the reasons why I've always said that the TSA, for instance, they should never have started. They should have just let the private airlines do it. The market would have figured it out. We'd be safer. Does anybody think that they're safer on an airplane these days than they we saw the thing. We're going to talk about the dynamite stick, right?
I feel more harassed.
Boy, isn't that the truth? And in your ass.
Yeah.
Harassed has a whole new meaning when you go through TSA these days. That's
you get to
sure.
see everybody's socks.
Yeah, right.
Which
yeah.
is not well, something you're really looking for.
Anyway, the point of what I got out of this, and I wanted to run this by you, counselor, was this Richard A. Posner, apparently famous guy, but what blew me away, let me see if I can wear my glasses. Hello, got to read this. A couple of quotes in here. He talks about the, let's see, where was the thing here? He talks about the court that resisted Roosevelt's New Deal in the 1930s eventually bowed, so may the court in the current era, but we cannot wait for that to happen. Can't wait for the courts to come around and make any rulings.
Cave, I think, was the correct word, not bow.
Yeah, right. But the point is that the thing about it is, he also talks about the Fourth Amendment restricts warrants, as I have said, but warrantless searches are permissible as long as they're reasonable. And I'm thinking, whoa, who decides if they're reasonable? That's what, isn't that what a court's for?
Exactly.
I mean, whoa, hello.
It's hard to believe that he doesn't.
Wait, this doesn't make any sense to me at all. And then he talks about, it doesn't make any sense because if you're going to ask somebody who's going to, if it's going to be reasonable, the first person you're going to ask a judge, and right. then you get a warrant.
Right.
So then there's no such thing as a warrantless search. I mean, where's this guy coming from? The other thing is, he says federal judges do not have security clearances, and more to the point, they have no expertise in national security matters. I said, so what?
Right.
They're supposed to. They're not supposed to.
No.
If they need
expert opinions, they call in an expert.
Well, not only that, if you disobey the law, it doesn't matter what your knowledge is. I mean, you can have all the knowledge in the world of how an automobile works. But that doesn't make you an expert on whether somebody has, you know, done some damage or whatever the heck it is. I mean, it's the law that matters. That's all you have to know about.
Right.
You don't have to know how the damn thing works.
Right. It's amazing to me. He doesn't seem to recognize the separation of powers, the reason for the separation of powers. That is to say, the judges get to rule what the law is. They rule what the law actually is. They hold laws up against the Constitution, and they hold acts up against the Constitution. And I'd like to applaud District Judge Anna Taylor for checking the president,
and you've hit the nail on the head, and that's what I talked about before. I read most of her 43-page opinion. I pulled it down here. I didn't understand much of it. I'll have to say it was a little convoluted.
None of the 43 pages.
Well, no, I understood the part where it said plaintiff.
The end.
I got that. So it was the middle part that was a little.
She did what she was supposed to do.
Well, again, people have said that they didn't like her reasoning on it, and that may be. I don't care. The point is, this guy is so off base that I can't believe it. He says in here, for instance, a court might even hold that a surveillance program, quote, as distinct from surveillance of specific individuals, was a general warrant, which the Fourth Amendment forbids. And I'm wondering, what are you talking about? A surveillance program is...
He's talking about if your search is a program and not like you're going to go search one person, but, hey, we know we're going to sweep through the neighborhoods. They can't do that. Exactly.
We don't need no stinking
budget. Exactly. He really doesn't. He really seems to just totally throw the whole idea of that the judges hand out the warrants away. And he wants to have a congressional watchdog group executive watchdog group.
Yeah, and they are so good.
Well, we'll watch ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. We'll watch ourselves. Trust that.
Right.
It's mind-boggling to me. This guy trusts Congress.
Right.
Probably the most corrupt institution on this planet to watch themselves.
And let's be clear about this either. It is not hard to get a warrant, okay?
No, that's true.
It's not like renewing your auto tag, you know?
I mean, it's not like dealing with the DMV.
No, TSA.
Right. No. It doesn't even take 2 hours.
No.
I mean, to go fly an airplane, 2 hours.
Right.
Warrant, 2 minutes.
Yeah, no, all you have to do is ask and have any reason. I mean, it's like getting a hall pass when you're in high school.
And not only that, they select, of course, so often they know the quote friendly judge.
Absolutely.
I got a friend over here. He'll, if it's a ham sandwich, he'll sign off.
I can't believe the only justification for Bush not going through the courts to get the warrants to do the wiretapping
stupidity.
Is that he knew. Well, no, he is stupidity, right? But that he knew it was going to be rejected. I mean, you just
okay, but you're still not allowed to do it.
I agree.
And that's what Anna Taylor Diggs Taylor, whatever it is. You know, however convoluted her reasoning may have been. I mean, I applaud her, and of course they are all just sitting around saying, well, she, and of course what they did is they said she's an idiot because she was appointed by Carter, she supports the ACLU, she's a liberal judge. Okay, so what? I don't think that doesn't change what she ended up doing.
Right.
And it'll be interesting to see when it is overturned by the Sixth Court or the Fifth Court or whatever it is up there of appeals. But what I liked.
I don't think it'll be overturned.
You don't?
No.
Everybody says it's a slam dunk.
Yeah, no. No,
I saw
there's a
slam dunk.
I know.
Curtis.
Right.
Not everybody.
Oh my God, we got our own local attorney.
Loco.
Parts in your general direction.
That's exactly right.
Exactly. Well, it very well could be if they get judges that are friendly to Bush, and I don't know the composition of that particular court, whether it's pro.
Well, you only need executive. One. Basically, you only need one. Aren't those court of appeals generally like three judges?
Yeah.
So if it's 2-1. I mean, that means one guy made the decision, you know, one swing vote.
Well, you know, if it's 2-1, the two get it.
I know that, but what I'm saying is if one of those two were to switch, then it would be 1-2.
Yeah.
So essentially one person makes the decisions, the way I look at it. That's what Jimmy looks at.
Jimmy's law.
That's right, Jimmy's law. What I mean is that one person who may have voted either yes or no may have a serious PMS that day or something. And you know, say, well, you know, F you or something.
Well, I think they all you need to do is look at the Constitution, look at what's happened in the past.
The Supreme Court doesn't even do that.
Well,
I mean, in Kelo and in that thing in California, they'd buy Constitution be damned. Even our constitutional judges did it.
Well, yeah, they did. They dropped the ball, I admit. But
dropped the ball?
And kicked it around in the backfield and then scored a goal in their own goalie.
That knifed the shit out of it, too. God damn, that ball is flatter than anything I've ever seen. Ain't no ball left. No, what
but
I like,
that's the only check that we get, unfortunately.
You're right. And unfortunately, and unfortunately is the word.
Yeah, Posner says here, we don't want to be boxed in by the Constitution.
I was just going to read that.
Like, man, I want them to be boxed in, for Christ's sake.
That to me tells, that's the whole, that it to me is the sentence that matters the most in this entire article. So we don't want to be boxed in by that antiquated old Constitution.
Yeah.
Just get it out of the way.
It's holding us back.
Yeah, holding us back from doing the right thing.
Other people have flexibility.
That's right, living Constitution.
Yeah, they can torture their people into testifying.
That's right. Well, it's, I mean, this.
They can search them by executive decree.
That's right. Search this. Okay.
Exactly.
Well, that's what, you know, that's what they're getting around to. So anyway, I I'm glad you brought that up. I wanted to run that by you.
Warrants are not hard to get. And there's no math involved. There's no writing requirement. Spelling. You know, you just ask and you get it.
Right. And well, it's interesting, of course, that
if these people have any ties to terrorism at all, you get the warrant.
Right. I mean, and they can use profiling, I would imagine.
Profiling. Go for it.
Go for it. That's right. He's a 17 to 46-year-old
All
Muslim
sorts
terrorist.
Of hearsay is allowed.
Yeah, that's right. Hearsay is okay.
Yeah. And when you're applying for the warrant. So
you don't even have to. I mean, it doesn't even, when you go to the warrant, it's not even.
Anybody who says that it's
too complicated. We don't have, but we're bogged down trying to get these warrants.
I don't think so.
No.
It is a greased, slick lightning trail.
Warp speed.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, how many do you want?
That's right. Well, this is one of those.
Like,
I don't mean it's fast.
Yeah.
I don't mean it's fast, but you can get the warrant before you ask for it.
Exactly. I mean, you know, ordering a cheeseburger is slow compared to getting a warrant.
That's right. That's right. So, I mean, you time travel, whatever. That's great. So, anyway, okay, that's. I wanted to get your take on that, and I want to warn all of our listeners. And
Good luck, Judge Taylor.
Yeah, good luck. You're right. Good luck on Judge Taylor, number one. And they are bashing her. What do they call demonizing her?
Yeah.
Because of her other.
Well, that's a sure sign that they can't attack her reasoning.
Exactly.
You know?
Well, somebody did. They said the reasoning was convoluted. And, of course, in a 43-page opinion, which is, I think is kind of silly, I would never, if I were a judge, I don't think I'd ever write a 43-page opinion. It'd be like one page, take it or leave it.
But she was pretty expansive.
Well, she was. And, of course, you could always find problems in 43 pages. I mean, they're still, I don't care who you are.
Yeah. And she did use the kind of the weakest ground from,
she did.
You know, to make the decision based on, but I think that she's given them plenty of other grounds, and I think that it's just bold faced out there if they want to.
We'll see what happens with the so the injunction as stands as we speak, right?
Well, unfortunately, they stayed the order.
You're kidding.
No, pending the judge's review of some more documents,
they
stayed it for another couple of weeks.
Oh my God!
Which I the only reason I can think of they did that is to make sure that they're definitely gonna slam them this coming time. Sure, we'll give you another couple of weeks. To get your butts ready and before we slam the door shut. But I wouldn't have. I'd have said, you know, cut that program off
right now. Yeah,
that's it.
Say,
here's the judge's order. I'll drive it over.
Yeah.
I'll drive it over.
You know.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. So, but as I, again, the bottom line is what I just said before, and that is if you lose, if you let people do this stuff, even if you're doing no wrong, I mean, one of the most specious arguments I've ever heard is, why would you object to this law if you're not doing anything wrong
right.
in the first place?
Well, that is the most spurious freshman law school argument that can be done. If that's the old, well, if you weren't doing anything wrong, then the cops should be able to come in your house whenever they want to.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no.
And they'll never abuse that.
Right. Yeah, never.
Never.
Well, they have their own watchdog group.
That's right. That's right. The thin blue, that's one of the things you always see on TV, of course, is not the thin blue line or whatever. We protect our own kind of thing. You know, cops go out and do all those things in the world. To get a cop to rat on another cop, good luck. Doesn't happen. Serpico, maybe. That's it. And then you die.
Yeah, that's it. And then you die.
And you die.
Okay, so I'm done with that. Anything else?
No, move on.
Okay, I was going to talk, believe it or not, big news here in Florida. We have next week we have the primaries.
Right.
And there's some governor and some other things. I got my sample ballot today in the mail. I don't get to vote for nothing because I'm a registered libertarian.
Right.
And there are no libertarians running. So we have here in Florida a closed primary. That is, you have to, in order to vote in the Republican primary, you have to be Republican. In order Democrat, you have to be in the Democratic primary. And there are some races, so I don't get to vote for those this past. Sometimes in the past, what I've done is to change my registration for 30 days. You're allowed to do that and then change it back again. But anyway, so I didn't bother to do that this time because they're all a bunch of who knows what. I'm not going to say on this family show. So anyway, but one of the things that I do get to vote for, because it, quote, is nonpartisan, is the school board. And as I mentioned before, it is astounding to me how much money is being spent. And this is all of the state. And when I drove down to Grandma's yesterday and today, the school board are the signs that are all over the place.
So that's a powerful position in today's municipalities.
It really is. Well, let me tell you, one of the things that I got out of this, and I'm sitting here from our local paper. This is this is the Gainesville Sun Saturday. This is today. And the headline is, schools will reap big rewards for making the grade. Now, this has to do here in Florida. We have, in addition to the No Child Left Behind, which is a joke. Which is a joke, of course, but that's the federal program. Right. We have an A-plus program or something like that, FCATs and all that stuff here locally in the government-run indoctrination system. And if schools can... The money's passed out pretty randomly. If you're a failure for the first year or two, you get extra money, and then after that, you get no money, and you know, who knows? It's all up in the air. They're all, of course, all the principals and the teachers and everything are gaming the results, and they let certain people don't get to take the test today. And you know, why didn't little Jimmy stay home tomorrow? You know, I think he looks a little sick.
I think he looks a little sick.
I think maybe stay home tomorrow. And that kind of stuff. I mean, they game the system.
Everybody has to eat the pudding with your lunch today.
That's right.
Everybody, that group
over there could drink the Kool-Aid.
Right.
And you know, so anyway, the point is, I thought this was funny. Here's the headline, and this is so typical of the Gainesville Sun, which is absolutely a government mouthpiece if there ever was one.
No, it's a libertarian paper.
Yeah, right. No, you talk about Mas Capital. You know, this is The Worker. It ought to be called The Worker. Schools will reap big rewards for making the grade, and it turns out that altogether 1,799 Florida schools will get a $100 per student bonus. Now, I don't know how many schools there are in the thing, but it turns out that here locally, Alachua County Public Schools, or government-run indoctrination systems, as I prefer to call them, receive $1.57 million. The budget for the Alachua County school system is over $300 million. Now, I don't know about you, but $1.57 million is like a rounding error. At $100, we currently spend about $12,000 per student. They're talking about giving them $100.
Windfall!
I mean, but the headline is, schools will reap big rewards. I mean, $100 might sound...
Well, everybody has to trumpet how well education is doing. It's like a matter of national pride. Education in America, we're number one. That's what they... And so that's what you're going
to
get.
As I continue to say, if your ego or your livelihood depend on a mythology, you'll go with the mythology every time. And these people cannot afford to admit that their lives are a waste. And even the people that are running here, I do get to vote for the school board. There's an incumbent who took out a full page ad, and she had 67 things that she'd done spectacularly well in the school board, and it made the school system unbelievably better than it was when she took office.
Unbelievably.
And of course, the FCAT scores went up by 0.001%, and she's, you know, she broke out the champagne on that one.
Right.
But her opponent, and she says, but we need some more money.
Right.
And then we'll really take off on the next, you know, this time around.
We'll but 0.002%.
That's right. No, we'll double that the next 4 years. So vote for me. And her opponent, the outcumbent, said she's not doing that great a job. But if I get in there, by God, we'll really make heads roll. And we'll double that. We'll triple that FCAT score, but we need more money.
We're going to pull an all-nighter.
Pull an all-nighter. That's right. And if we just have some more money, we can do it. And it's never enough. I-N-E. That ought to be a bumper sticker. I-N-E. It's never enough. $12,000 per student. Now, I realize about $6,000 of that is in bonds and the capital, what do you call it, the capital, the buses, the bricks and mortar, and that stuff. But basically,
that counts.
I know it does. I can tell you that nobody, there are private schools that if they were not prohibited by the law from SWAT team killing, that would swoon for $12,000 a student and go away and make money going away. And this is one of the reasons why, of course, I've always, as we talked about at the very beginning of the show, it's profits that drive the capitalist system. It's what drives necessities and so forth. And the schools, of course, are nonprofit, whereas the private schools are profit-making institutions.
Well, they don't want to be corrupted by that evil profit.
That evil money, right. Well, this is BS. I personally, I don't believe that there should be any nonprofit institutions at all. None. Zero. And that was one of the reasons why I'm always against corporate taxes, because there are no such thing as corporate taxes. Only people pay taxes. And when you can raise the corporate taxes to 1,000,000%, IBM's not going to pay any taxes. It's the people, you know, the shareholders or the customers that are going to end up paying it. We know that. So there's no sense. But the advantage is that if you're a non-profit corporation, then you don't have to pay these taxes. So you have a wink, wink, nod, nod edge on you.
Churches, non-profit organizations.
But my point is that if you have no corporate taxes at all, then the profits actually are on the same level as the non-profit. Nonprofits and profits are on the same level at that point. That's my solution. Anyway, I've digressed. So school board races here in Alachua County, $100. Don't spend it all in one place.
It's a crock.
They don't know how to. It is astounding to me that they don't have. And by their own admission, half the students here in this county are failures, almost failures.
There was an article about charter schools that you sent us as well.
What was that?
It said something.
Oh,
like,
I know what it was. Yes, it turns out that of course any bad news for non-government run indoctrination systems is good news for them. It's right. Kind of like the Iraq War. You know, if a soldier gets killed, oh my God, that's what they put on the news. Not that a school got built or anything like that. They did a study which was hysterically, of course, was run by the Florida Department of Indoctrination, where they found that the charter schools were on a scale of 100 to 500 were like 7 points below.
Now see, that was an interesting thing. They didn't put what the scale was in the article.
They just said seven.
Yeah, it was at 4.2%. Excuse me. 4.2 points.
4.7 points. I guess
out
a lot
of many.
That's the point.
They didn't put it.
It could have been.
Right.
It might have been on a scale of 1 to 10,
right,
which is bad.
Right.
But it was on a scale of 100 to 500, which means, again, it was within the margin of error. I mean, that's no. So that's no distinction at all.
1% better or worse.
1% better or worse. But first of all, the study is very suspect because, first of all, who did it? Was the people that have a vested interest in making sure it turned out. I'm surprised they didn't make it turn out there was 1,000 points worse.
Right.
You know, because
there's only 500 points in the scale. There's 1,000 points.
No, that's
worse.
Right. They scored below zero.
Zero.
So this was pitting charter schools against
zero.
Public schools.
Yeah, charter schools against government-run schools. So it turns out that in case you haven't noticed, one of the big fears about the private school system is that they will skim the cream off the crop. This is not so here in Alachua County, at least. The charter schools actually are mostly for disadvantaged students. They are specifically designed for students who can't make it in the regular system because of behavioral or physical attributes that prohibit them from really participating as well as they should. So they already are behind the eight ball. And my way of thinking is if there's 7% difference, it's a miracle. I mean, that's no difference. Number one, I would have expected 50 points or more, depending when you know that the schools.
Maybe it was. Then they just monkeyed with it. That's the best they could do.
What?
No,
you mean somebody would monkey with the ballot box?
Yeah,
no, hard to believe. No,
they tried to make it.
Chad.
Yeah, my point is that the government run school system is totally broken, and nobody gets it. The school people running for the school board are clueless, totally clueless. I've watched them on TV, our local channel 12 here, and I tell people sometimes that I watch the school board meeting, and they look at me like I'm some kind of alien being.
Yeah, right.
Are you from Mars? I mean, what are you talking about? You can't, no, most people can't stomach more than about 2 or 3 minutes of it without going to vomit.
Oh, I can't.
But I mean, you have to be a special personality to actually sit on that board and go through those meetings.
No.
I mean, what kind of person sits there for 5 hours and listens to...
Get away!
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. So anyway, that's my take on the school board. Good luck. And the school system's going down the toilet, and don't we love it?
So what about the charter schools?
They closed one or two of them because they weren't up to snuff. And, of course, if they used that same rules that they use on charter schools, all the government-run schools here would be closed down tomorrow. But they have a vested interest in this. They're panic-stricken that somehow they got the idea that the charter schools don't use any teachers, I guess. They say, well, all the teachers will lose their jobs. I'm thinking, wait a minute. You still got 29,000 people here, K-12, that are in this county that are going to be educated by somebody. And, of course, we have a small class mandate. So you do the math. You know how many teachers you're going to need. And there's a shortage here. They can't get. And, of course, they're claiming the reason for the shortage is no money. I happen to know a school teacher here, and she says that the reason is because of all the paperwork and because they don't have control of their classroom. They're not allowed to touch the students, talk to them unnicely.
Talk to them.
No, they're not. I mean, seriously. You're not allowed
to touch the students.
No, you're not allowed to touch the students at all. I mean.
Well, I'm withdrawing my application then.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
No, they said the reason is not the money. It's the conditions, the employment conditions. Right. They have no control over what they do. They'd be told what to do all the time.
And you're getting paid like crap.
Well, no, they actually, you know, you got to think about it. It ain't all that bad. I mean, they get high 20s to start.
High 20s to start.
But unfortunately, there's no question that the room for advancement is not good. But hey, look, you live in Florida, for God's sakes. You know, this is Florida. You get to go to the beach. You don't have to work 3 months out of the year. You go to the beach and have a good time.
Hey,
break.
That's what it is. It is only 9 months a year.
And the other thing is that you look at, of course, we do have the Lee and Tina show. We have one of our commissioners on the county commission who's the boss of his wife, who's on the school board.
Ooh.
Yeah, no conflict there.
Nope. Well, it seems to me as though the train of thought that I had a minute ago is gone.
That's right. And you know, a little senior moment at your age is something to worry about.
You know, I was going to say, it seems to me like a lack of control in the classroom is a direct result of the forcing the kids to go there.
Yes.
That is to say, if the parents were putting the kids in there and paying for it,
yep,
that it would be a lot easier to get those parents to get their kids to stay in line.
That's what they do at the private schools. I mean, they have nothing. I can remember I went to a private school for a while.
They whack you on the knuckles.
Oh, man. I wish it was the knuckles. You see the scar on my leg? I tell you, man, don't talk about knuckles. I got boot in English class. Mr. Dixon, boy, I'll never forget that. Woo.
No.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, let's get into this TV show here.
Okay, yes.
Survivor.
I want to know what
Survivor
you got to do.
15.
Survivor. It's 13, I think, 13. But it doesn't matter.
Ah, whatever.
Anyway, it's
29.
They are now, and I watched, I think, the first
New Survivor.
One or two
where is it going to be now?
CBS.
They're not going to air it. They're going to pull it.
You think?
Yeah.
This is the... Now,
well,
they've got four teams.
Let's talk about
four teams divided by race.
All right.
And this, we're not talking about the triathlon here. We're talking about
the whites versus the blacks.
The blacks.
Versus the what?
Asians.
Asians versus the...
Hispanics.
Just four groups?
Just four. They always...
Well, right off the bat, they're leaving people out.
No question. Where's the Eskimo group? I mean, there's all kinds.
The Inuits?
Inuits, yeah,
right.
and then the South.
Where's the Master Race?
Where's the Native American?
And the Master Race.
The Master Race is not represented.
Where's the natives? You know,
it's down on Cook Island. So isn't that Cook Island's in that down near Easter Island? What is that?
I don't know.
Down there someplace.
Where's the Australians?
Well, no, they're a totally different race. Totally different race. That's right. No, they had men versus women and all that stuff, so that allowed for two.
This is all this life. So, all right, so they're taking a beating now.
Let me see if I got the thing here.
And Counselor says they're going to pull it.
Yeah, I'm not seeing that
one
fly.
Oh, come on, Mark Barnett, he's...
No, they've already
shot it.
They've already shot it, right.
Yeah,
except now they probably... Have they shot the last one, too? Isn't the last one always live?
I don't know.
I think the last one is always
they have a meeting, but they're not on the island anymore.
No, they're not. No, they have the island set in L.A. or something, right?
They got it. That's right.
Of course, it could be that way the whole way, as far as we know.
Right.
Well, of course, I've always thought these Survivor things were funny. I mean, like it's always hysterical to me when they say they're whispering, you know, like the camera's right in his face.
Right here.
You know, the cameraman and the audio guy with the holding up the microphone. Right. Hello. You know, it's not like you couldn't get a piece of bread or something like that from the guy. You wonder, out of the thousands of hours that they shoot, what do they cut? You know, it's obviously over. But anyway, to get back to this, let's go ahead real quick here. The African American tribe is made up of a makeup artist, a jazz musician, and an actress, Asian American, an attorney, management consultant, real estate agent, and a fashion director.
Oh, he's going to die.
And a nail salon manager. Yeah. I love the nail salon manager's name is CAOBOI, cowboy.
Cowboy.
And then they have the Hispanic tribe, which is heavy metal guitarist, police officer Christina.
Uh-huh.
Okay, woo. Professional volleyball player.
Why you so stupid?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now, Survivor, can you shoot the other team?
Well, I don't know, because, yeah, be nice. They have,
send the police officer over there.
And
take care of the other team.
And then they have...
They didn't survive.
member, Cochila Mandilpa. No, I don't know.
Yeah, and, right, gang
member. And then they have the white tribe, which is a copier salesman, a writer,
right,
a boxer waitress.
Interesting.
Ooh, I love that. Parvati Shallow, 23, of L.A., an exotic dancer.
Yeah, exactly.
Performer S-I-T. Roller girl.
Performer roller.
Jessica Smith, 27, of Chico, California.
Uh-huh.
And so anyway.
And witch doctor.
And witch doctor, that's right. No, my point is that, do you think they're going to get away with this? I mean, this is unbelievable to me. I
say yes.
Curse?
I hope so, but I think
it starts like this week. The first episode.
Yeah,
it's going to be a big deal. What do you think they'll pull it, huh? Now, how long does it go on for? It goes on for 8-10 weeks or something?
Yeah.
And then they have the finale, right?
Yeah.
And it's already been done.
Yeah.
And they're sworn to secrecy.
Yeah.
Okay. And somebody's got the million bucks.
I think it'll show internationally, and they'll yank it here in the U.S.
No kidding. We're going to follow up on that. I just thought, to me... In this day of political correctness,
right,
the stuff you can or can't do, the political correctness,
can't
talk
do that
on campus and everything like that, to pull this off, I mean, this takes some cojones, as these Hispanic Americans would say.
What the tribe challenges are going to be. Okay, we're going to have
exactly
the black tribe war against the white tribe.
I mean, and you got to figure the Hispanic, I mean, they're going to be speaking like a different language.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, who's going to understand them? Now, you do know what does happen, I think, as I recall, don't they usually, halfway through, they mix them up or something, right?
They change teams.
They change teams, and they mix them up some way, shape, or form.
Well, is that what they're going to do here?
Well, I'm sure they will, but my point is they're starting off in the most un-PC way you can, which I'm loving it from that standpoint.
Yeah.
But they're asking a question. Do you think the people watching the show will take any sides? Oh, duh. I mean, yeah.
It sounds like good TV to me, man.
I'm telling you. First of all, you can bet that all the guys in the audience are going to be taking sides with the chicks. That's
right.
Number one. But other than that, you can bet. Can you imagine, I mean, the South Central L.A., they're going to be rooting for the Hispanic tribe, you know, whatever it is.
He's the creeps, man.
That's right. And then you can see the Orientals are going for the, you know.
Yeah. It's going to be great.
Got me?
Yeah.
Riots in the streets.
Yeah, right. Yeah, would that be a trip? Oh, my God. Okay.
See, survives that.
So, anyway, I thought that was interesting. Okay.
Now, I'll tell you, the only reality show that I've ever watched is is that one that's on right now, that Who Wants to Be a Superhero?
Oh, you like that?
I thought his gutting is great.
I haven't watched it. I mean, you love it, huh?
I think it's Council Curse. I mean, you're a big comic book dude.
Absolutely, and Stan Lee is the guy who's doing it there, but I haven't seen it either.
I've got
Mr. Spider-Man.
I've saved some on tape in case you want to watch it.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to watch, because
they're down to the last two.
Well, I went through it with, you know, of course,
Mama,
as you know, being a guy.
Fat Mama and what's the guy's name? Freebase or
Freebase? Yes, Freebase.
It's feedback. That's it.
Feedback. Mm-hmm. No, well, the problem that I've got is that
super crack.
As you know, the being a guy, my remote, my button
is glued
the channels
down.
Is super glued down.
Right.
So I only get to see a couple of seconds at a time.
Right.
And
all right, we're moving on.
Okay, what's next?
Pluto is no longer a planet.
I tell you the truth.
Pluto has left the building.
The only thing that I wanted to say about this was the astrologers. The astrologers appear to be unconcerned. One of the things that they... astrology, obviously...
But they're saying Pluto is too small.
The science of astrology.
The science, right. God, what a joke.
They're saying Pluto is too small now to be considered
dwarf thing. Yeah, well, it turns out they found something out there that's actually larger than Pluto.
Yeah.
That Ceres or whatever.
Yeah.
Is actually
planet
larger.
X or whatever.
Well, they have Xena, which also is another one. But
yeah.
But yeah, it's larger than Pluto. So they, you know, but the thing that they, the ruling that they did was the fact that Pluto for 20 years out of its 238 years actually is inside the orbit of Neptune. So it's way more elliptical than most.
Right.
And so they, and besides that, they didn't like the size or something. I don't know. Anyway.
It's a Disney thing.
Exactly.
That's right.
And I'm surprised Disney didn't call up and put their foot down.
Yeah, that's
they,
right.
They, you know, they have Disney, of course. Nobody, you never underestimate the power of the mouse.
Do not.
As a friend of mine once said. Well, you know, that's one of the reasons why, you're a big one on copyright law and patent law.
Uh-huh.
And you know that the Mickey Mouse,
They extended that.
It's like over 100 years now.
What? You mean you can't just put Mickey Mouse's up all over the place?
It was supposed to go in the public domain years ago, but they got a special... They call it the Disney Law.
Special
one-shot Disney Law. Part of America. Thank
Big
you, Congress.
Big asterisk next to that line.
That's
on the
arm. Oh, my God. So anyway, the deal is that the astrologers... I thought this was funny because it's three of those big planets out there.
I'm surprised they didn't send out the weasels to get
the Disney weasels.
Yeah, to put the hit on the scientists.
Oh, right. Yeah, because
thinking about changing
it was a big fight. I mean, this is over Prague.
Mm-hmm.
So they could have gotten some Russian mafia over there.
Right. Yeah.
But the thing that got me about so Pluto is now officially not a planet.
Right.
We've got our solar walk here in Gainesville, you know, on 8th Avenue.
Right. Those monuments that depict the various planets.
Jimmy, let's do our public service and let's go down there and just put Pluto in the back of the truck.
It
looked real good in your front yard.
We ought to knock it down to what it is. Yeah, I mean, it seems a little
Hey, we're just doing some educational
performance.
That's edumacation. For those of you. No, the thing of
nobody knows what the hell you guys are talking about.
Well,
but
no, on 8th Avenue, we've got what they call the solar walk.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about a couple of miles long. They put the sun.
Giant concrete
obelisks.
It's one-to-one
phallic
scale.
Symbols, whatever. One-to-one scale.
They're
these giant phalli that are sitting here.
They're tall.
The sun. And then at an appropriate distance, they've got these other
Mercury, Venus,
whatever. My virginal
Uranus.
Mother.
Right.
Easy.
Neptune and Pluto.
You know, makes it with Jupiter and Neptune's.
Right, so Pluto watches. So they've got Pluto. Now,
they got Pluto
now
down
they
there.
Don't
and of course,
Pluto.
Now they down here.
Pluto's right over here by the...
It's right over here near Jimmy's place.
Right.
We don't want to say that. It's over near other Jimmy's place. Okay. Anyway,
let's go get it.
Let's go get it. I'm with you.
Right.
Just pause, Eric. We'll be back in about 15, 20 minutes.
You hear this big...
All right, we got it. We're back.
Yeah.
So anyway, the thing is, what I find interesting, of course, a lot of these planets weren't even discovered until, you know, like the 1830s. And they talk about astrology has been around for thousands of years. I mean, what did they do when they didn't even know that Neptune existed? And then they found out that it existed.
Well, that's why they were a little off in their prediction.
A little off. Okay. What I find fascinating is in our newspaper every day, you talk about there's a substantial amount of ink on
horoscopes.
Can you, people actually.
What, those things aren't real?
Well, of course, it says stuff like, you might have a good day and then you might not. You know, here, your fortune, your outlook for today. Do something or don't. You know, what the hell is this? It's just unbelievable. So anyway, I thought that was. That
all right, well, Pluto's.
Yeah, gone. Whatever. So
goodbye, Pluto. Do we have some goodbye music or anything?
I still think it should hit Neptune. That'd be great.
Oh, that would be.
Yeah, let's blow it up.
Yeah.
No, let's do a little redirect. You know, what's his name? Bruce Willis out there. You know how they redirected that comet?
Right.
Redirect Pluto. Take a while. Be kind of.
All right, are we getting into light notes?
Yeah,
wait a minute. We still got a couple.
Wait, let me see here.
Super dark notes.
Medium brown.
I'm done pretty much. Astrologers unfazed.
We're done. All right, see you later.
I talked about that. I'm done with this.
Hey, did you talk about the car black boxes?
No, that's the,
this is one of those things that you probably want to write into the government about.
Yeah, you might want to. Well, I didn't realize this, but apparently about a quarter of the cars that are out there already have them in there.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
Now, a lot of that is, is the computer that tells you when they hitch up to your car to find out what's wrong with it. Isn't that part of the black box?
Right, OnStar.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it tells you it tells you vehicle speed, airbag deployment, brake and seatbelt use at time before, during, and after crash, whatever. 64% of the 2005 model year vehicles were built, they had it built into them.
No kidding. Half. No kidding.
I have that.
Crash information is only gathered when the airbags are triggered.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Well, and the thing is that they're putting GPSs in them.
Yeah.
So
right.
they can track you everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. The days are coming when you're going to get a ticket in the mail for when
you
were driving down that hill and you didn't hit the brakes.
Well,
really.
You didn't have your seatbelt on.
There was nobody. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
You didn't
have your seatbelt on, so you get a ticket.
Yeah.
You didn't come to a complete stop.
Every time you got in your car, here's 20 tickets today.
Yeah, right. No, really, it's going to be, it will be interesting to see if there's a backlash in what they do. Of course, as an attorney, let me ask you a question. This has always gotten me is what they call selective enforcement. So often, you'll see somebody get arrested or whatever it is, and I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, there's 50,000 other people here doing the same damn thing. Why didn't you get them too? But is that it? That's no good a defense, eh?
Mm. No.
You know why? Because I got you, sir.
That's it. Well, I was
busy getting you.
License. Get in the back of the car.
Yeah, but they did it too. Yeah, but I caught you.
Yeah.
Yeah. They took out the safety concern portion of. Wait, let me try this one more time.
You're an attorney? You've argued cases in front of court?
I can speak in a foreign language.
Eric's really good at editing.
So. Yeah.
Ready and go.
They took out the necessity for a safety concern when they write you a ticket. That is to say, it used to be that if you change lanes without putting your blinker on, mm-hmm. that there had to be another car around or some reason why that might have been dangerous.
I see.
Well, they removed that need. And therefore, you could theoretically now you could just get mailboxes full of tickets once this black box thing goes in.
You're on the road all by yourself.
All by
middle
yourself.
Of the night.
There's not even a policeman there.
You're going to change lanes and go ahead and turn on that.
Exactly.
By the time you get home,
ding.
There'll be a ticket.
An email ticket. That's right. E-ticket.
It's already been deducted from your account.
That's right. Yeah.
Already a deducted.
That's it. Mm-hmm. No,
but you get home and you're broke. You had a lot of money.
You got a deficiency notice from your bank. Please come in and this is of course dovetailing with what we talked about two shows ago was the red light things. Yeah, and they're putting it here in town. There's cameras all over town now. I actually hate to say this. But I stopped the other day from going the last minute through a light, even though no car's coming. There wasn't a car. I didn't see another car anyplace, and I didn't.
Jimmy locks him up.
Jimmy, yes. I'll tell you, I took off about 5,000 miles worth of rubber on one side of the tire to make sure that
I was. That was a $47 stop.
That's right. You better believe it. And we don't even have them set up yet so that they're actually doing the flashes. They just have the pictures. But I thought I better get used to it.
Yeah, there's no question. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to make a prediction here. By 2050, there will be no driving cars by people. The computers will do the driving.
Okay, that could
you won't
be.
Even be able to drive a golf ball.
Okay,
forget about a golf cart.
I see. How about driving a nail?
Yeah, no way.
No nails. Okay,
but definitely not a golf ball.
Right.
That's right. Well, I think this is also
it's going to open up Engineer Eric's electromagnetic pulse discharge company.
Well, that's one thing. That's one thing, and also it's going to make the used car market rather nice.
Exactly.
I mean, anything bought before 2003.
Oh, I love my car. No airbags. No nothing. I mean, it's a hand crank.
Hand crank. I love it. It is. I don't mean it's an old car, but in order to start it when you stand out in front of the car and twirl that little handle.
Yep.
That's
what you have a girlfriend to do for.
That's right. Then you have to run around real quick and make sure while the car is going down the street and jump in so that
Right.
Okay, that's
well, apparently you can write these guys at DMS. This is great. DMS.dot.dot.gov. Department of Transportation.
What's that all about?
It's a dot.
Dot. Dot. Dot.
So, yeah, tell them, send them whatever.
Okay, what's
Anthrax.
Next?
Oh, wait, here's another one.
Okay.
Cop sees $125,000.
I saw that. I want to ask you about that.
On suspicion, basically.
Now, here's what was it? The guy was, like, driving in Nebraska.
Right.
And I guess he fit the profile. He was Hispanic or something.
He fit the profile, right?
He fit the profile, so they stopped him.
Well, actually, yeah, he had something wrong with his car, like a taillight out or something.
Taillight out. And of course,
this stopped him. He's sweating bullets.
Sweating bullets. Right. And they said, and they asked him, of course, for permission to search his car.
I don't think so.
And he said, yeah. Okay.
I didn't say okay.
Yeah. No, I didn't understand.
They found
you.
In a cooler, in his back seat, I think it was, a cooler, yeah. They found $125,000 in cash.
Right.
Which they immediately confiscated as drug money. Right. That was a rental. It was. It was a rental car.
Right.
It was a rental car. He sued to get it back. He said, hey, no, that me and my eight buddies, we're going to go start a new business.
Well, he didn't sue to get it back. They just seized it.
They seized it.
He appealed to get it back.
Whatever. He appealed to get it back. And he said, look, me and my eight buddies we went together.
Pooled our life savings
to buy a special truck in Chicago.
Refrigeration
truck in Chicago. I went to Chicago, didn't like the deal. So I...
Or the truck was already sold.
The truck was already sold, whatever it was. So I still had the $125,000 from me and my eight buddies. I rented a car, put it in the cooler, and was driving back to redistribute.
Put it in the cooler to avoid suspicion.
So, and so forth. So they said, the judge came out and said, I don't care. They had the dog sniff the car.
Right.
And, of course, it's a rental car, which had 9,000 people in it in the last week and a half.
Right.
And the dogs detected no drugs, but a drug residue.
A smell of drug. Well, see, now, let me just tell you, for our listeners here, the way that dogs indicate that there's drugs in there, you don't know this, but dogs can testify against you. And the way they do it is... They
type up something?
Almost. Yeah. They
Little Timmy needs help down by the river?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like Scooby-Doo?
That's right. They do Morse code.
Where are
the drugs in that car? Raggy?
Yeah, that's right.
And no, what they do is literally they do something like...
Pee on the tire.
Exactly.
Yeah.
they bark or they move their nose a little bit or they hold their paw up a little bit.
They do a little sign language? Hey.
Yeah. No, I'm telling you, it is the most vague indication that there is something that has happened, right, that anything could be confused for a dog indication.
Really?
And it's not like you can cross-examine the dog. You know, hey, Rex, how many years have you been doing this? You know?
Well, of course, the owner, the handler tells you've been doing this for 8 years, and he's made...
And he's an expert.
And he's an expert, right.
Right. And he never gets it wrong.
Right.
Never. And so, basically, the dog said that the dog smelled drugs. They didn't find any drugs.
No
paraphernalia.
Nothing. No residue.
The guy had no record of any drug arrest in his history.
Right. Nothing.
Nothing substantial on his record at all.
Right.
He had, like, a driving charge or something.
Yeah. And now he has $125,000 less.
Well, so the judge said... Reasonable
that's
to
enough.
Me. You're a drug deal, and we're keeping the money.
Right.
I was blown away by that.
Yeah.
I mean, look, even if he was, I mean, don't you have to, like, prove it?
Yeah.
No? Not anymore.
You should have. I think that, I mean, this is one thing, I actually think this may be overturned if he appeals it again, because they didn't...
He's got nothing else to lose.
Yeah.
They didn't... Well, they lost it.
They were unable, the government didn't dispute any of his facts, that is, the existence of the truck or anything like that, which presumably they could have done.
Man, it sounds like he just needs to get a better lawyer.
Yeah, well, hey, I'm right here. Email me.
That's right. Jimmy@JimmyDonuts. No, you have an email here.
Actually, everybody's got emails.
What is your email?
Send us your emails. Mine's CounselCurtis@JimmyDone.com.
Or just Curtis, in case you don't know how to spell counselor.
Jack@JimmyDone.com.
And I'm Eric, or Engineer Eric.
Engineer Eric. I like that. Engineer Eric@JimmyDone.com.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
So if you send us your emails, Jimmy will.
Actually, director doesn't have to go through the Jimmy filter.
No. And if you forget any of those, I think douchebag@JimmyDone.com. I think that works too.
Yeah.
I take offense at that. I take umbrage, as we say.
D-bag.
That's right.
We are accepting.
The dune bag. Okay.
For any naked listener pictures.
Well, let's not get carried away.
Not any.
Did you see the picture that Michelle sent me? of the new airport check-in.
Yes.
It showed like 1,000 people naked.
Yeah.
They were doing obviously some run thing, but I mean there were some people on there that probably shouldn't have been naked.
Right. Yeah. That's
I'm
true.
I'm guessing. Okay.
That's always the case.
Like us. Okay. Fine. Okay. Moving on.
Like, well, what are you going to do about this guy? We don't know. He's getting wheeled.
Oh, No. The fact is, this is. I'm telling you, if you people think you're not,
How much money can you carry around?
Okay, it turns
at
out
the airport,
not,
10,000, right?
Before you have cannot, to if you, interestingly enough,
that's international.
If you leave the country with you're allowed to carry up to $10,000 and not tell them. If you carry more than if you carry $10,001, the automatic fine is $10,001. I'm serious.
Payable right now.
If you carry $250,000 out and don't tell them, the fine is $250,000. It is the fine exactly is the amount of money that you're carrying on you, no more, no less.
Wow.
No more, no less.
That's convenient.
Yeah, it's very convenient. And of course the nice thing is you're getting on an airplane going out of the country. Hello.
Right.
You know, I would like nothing better than, but
I can tell
what
you
gets
this.
Me is you're carrying an American Express card that's worth $20,000-$25,000.
Right.
They don't get you for that.
Right.
I mean, it makes no sense. Let me tell you one of the first things that a country does when it wants to clamp down on its citizens is before you actually build the Berlin Wall to keep you stop the money from going out.
Mm-hmm.
What they did in East Germany, of course, is they made the money no good anyplace else. They wouldn't redeem it. Here in the United States, if you want to take your $1 million out of the country in cash, you wonder if you told them, that's the scary part.
Yeah.
If you told them, what would they do?
Yeah.
I got $1 million here. I signed the piece of paper. I'm getting
on the
airplane.
I'd like to go through all the official ways.
Just so it doesn't get... Yeah, you wonder. What, do you think they'd stop you?
Yeah.
Let's try it.
Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, here's the deal. We can have the Jimmy Doan Donation Trust Fund.
Test fund.
And so if you'll donate, if we get up to...
Let's just start it in a Swiss bank account.
Well, no, but no. What we'll do is...
1-1-7-5-2-9.
If we get over $10,000 in donations, what we'll do is... And we'll have it on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll go ahead and declare it.
Declare it.
And take it out of the country.
Right.
And never see you again. And
that'll
be our last show.
So. Yeah, I can tell you from walking around on the streets here in the state of Florida, if you've got more than $1,000 on you, there's going to be a presumption that you've been involved in some kind of a deal.
Right, $1,000. That's interesting.
Yeah, that is horseshit.
No, it's unbelievably bad. No, I mean, it really is. And so this goes with what we were talking about earlier in the show. You are losing your freedoms across the board.
It's not a law.
It is. I know it. But my point is this. It's because there's a few bad apples that everybody gets in the net. I mean,
right.
you are the dolphin in the tuna net. I mean, it's unbelievable. No, that's what I said.
Yeah, that's right.
Wait, is that right? You're the tuna in the dolphin net?
No.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah, you're the swimmer in the Jaws movie.
Wait, isn't that the truth? No, that. You're parts and Reese's Pieces, you know, whatever, I don't know.
Well, okay. That just blows. I mean, who started that?
Part of the drug seizure law, that is to say.
And they also had to be terrorists.
Washington put this forth, and it was in the Constitution. Right, okay.
It's called General Welfare Seizure.
About 15, 20 years ago, they passed a law that said that anything that could be counted as instrumentality of a crime can be seized in a drug crime. That is to say, if you drive your truck to the 7-Eleven to give the guy the quarter bag
you
for 40 bucks, you lose your truck. I've actually defended people who lost their truck
That's automatic. And of course, if you do it on your front yard in your house, if the guy comes in your house, you lose a house.
Yeah.
Everything that is associated with it. I mean, it's just everything.
It won't be long before, you were sleeping in your house while you were drug dealing.
Or you're thinking about drug dealing. You walked out of your house and that was part of the deal. I mean, it's a conspiracy. You know, your house was in on the conspiracy.
Right.
Well, interestingly enough, the ruling was so-and-so versus $125,000. The defendant in the case was $125,000.
Versus money.
I'm serious. Or the prosecutor, one or the other. That was mentioned in the piece of paper. The $125,000 was one of the parties in the suit or in the appeal.
I'd like to
cross examine the $125,000.
It sounds like the $125,000 won.
or it's going to get broken up.
Hey, money talks, man.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Convicted his ass.
Yeah, dude.
I'd like to cross-examine that money. Okay, moving on.
Okay.
The only thing I've got is, let's see, sex toy, the Hitler restaurant theme.
Oh, we're in the light notes here.
Yeah. Light notes! We need a light notes music.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, no.
Jing a ding a ding ding. Ding a ding ding.
And then,
the sex toy in the airport. This has to do,
we've gone once up to our attorney about this.
Right, this is early 20s guy traveling with his.
Well, he's an idiot. He's going to Turkey or something.
Traveling with his mother or his grandmother?
No. He wasn't traveling, I don't think, with either one of them. Was he or was he?
Whatever.
The bottom line is, they asked him, they held up this dildo or whatever and said, what's this?
It was a penis pump.
Penis pump, I'm sorry.
It was a penis
pump. And he said, what the hell is this?
And he said, it's a bum. It's a bum.
It's a bum.
He said, it's a bum.
And of course, they hauled his butt off and charged him with felony.
He said that because I think he was traveling with someone.
His grandmother. He didn't want his grandmother. Because he's like a Muslim. No, he wasn't Muslim. He was like Turkish. He was like a kid. He's, 17 or 18 years old or something?
I don't know.
And he didn't want his grandmother to know that he was carrying this penis pump.
So you said it was a bomb?
So instead of saying, it's a penis pump, he said, it's a bomb.
Oh, that's
good
just a
move.
Bomb.
I think he might have Inspector Clouseau'd it and said, pimp. It's a pimp. But it sounded like
that's
bomb.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
You know,
it's a pimp.
It's a pimp.
Well, obviously he wasn't smart enough to do that.
Right.
And so they hauled him off, and he was it was felony disorderly conduct.
Interesting. Disorderly conduct. So they didn't even charge him with possession of nothing.
No.
They charged him with talking back to the police,
right,
basically.
Felony disorderly conduct.
Right. That's called talking back.
Well, apparently it's like $10,000 in a couple years in jail.
Yeah. That's a lot of penis pumps.
It's a felony. I mean, so, yeah.
Felony talking back.
We're happy that airport security is up.
Felony back talk.
Felony back talk. Because, they found the dynamite stick
in
the bag.
That's right. The same week, they got another guy.
Now, here's what I don't get. They found a stick of dynamite on this guy. He's coming from Argentina or something.
Argentina to Houston.
And in Houston, for some reason, they search his bag, or
maybe he's going to blow up Cindy Sheehan.
Well, apparently he works with dynamite. Apparently he's in the mining.
He's a detonator. Yeah,
right.
Okay,
right.
But still,
he just brought one. He only brought one.
Yeah, I understand that. I mean, I was just saying, you know, you're getting ready to pack your bag and you say, toothpaste, no, can't take that. Hair gel, nope, can't take that. Stick of dynamite, that's okay. I mean, what are you talking about? I mean, have you lost your mind?
That reminds me of some fireworks I brought back from Paris one time.
Yeah, what was that all about? What happened?
Now, they looked like dynamite, little dynamite sticks.
And they said?
They didn't say nothing. It was pre-9/11.
Oh, okay. you know, that's one of the major reasons I like to go back to pre-9/11. Was those.
Man, well, yeah. No, what's amazing is that they banned everything that's liquid except for, like, baby milk food. Don't they remember that there's a baby milk food factory in the middle of downtown Baghdad?
They thought they blew up one. I thought they blew up one.
Oh, was that the one they blew up?
Yeah, they blew it up.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
That was a big deal. They were saying it was a munitions factory, and then when they finally went in and investigated, they found out it was milk, baby milk something.
Now here's the thing.
That's right.
Now, same, I know same. You guys commented on this last week, but I got to say one thing about that liquid ban.
Yeah.
I'll bet you that there was never a single ingredient that was procured to make the liquid explosives.
Okay.
I'll bet you that they didn't have a canister or any liquid of any type that was even flammable.
Okay, I'm with you on that. And?
And so...
We're asked to go to jail anyway.
Well, no, for life, too.
Yep.
But my point is that... Obviously, the terrorists now can get anything banned just by coming up with a plan.
You know, isn't that the truth? That is interesting, because that is the way to disrupt things. I mean, all you have to do... Well, it reminds me a little bit of the... when they put
this
the...
This is dialing for dollars, or dialing for...
Well, you remember when the lady...
Hollowed out Barbie and caused some issues.
That already causes issues. I don't have to talk about that. That's a nasty thing to say to Jimmy, for God's sakes. Now, shut up. No, anyway, the deal is, that's the larger blow-up version of the Barbie. That's right. No, anyway, the deal is that, remember when the lady or whoever was put the little cyanide capsules in the
Tylenol?
Tylenol, right.
Right.
And they recalled, like, you know, a million of them.
Right.
And, or they found in the Jack in the Box, they found a one piece, you know, one salmonella germ in a hamburger. Somebody got sick and they recalled, you know, 50 chillion tons of meat.
Right.
Anyway, so that's all they have to do, you know. So
a chillion is a lot, right?
A chillion. 50 chillion.
A chillion.
That's right. That's a book.
How many chillion you got?
That's right. So anyway, the point is that, they all they have to do is, I guess, tomorrow it'll be something. And
I would
not far from flying naked.
Yeah.
That should be kind of cool in a way.
I'll
tell you, that's when they get the Hooters boy, girls on there.
If I was a terrorist, I'd be mailing out plans. Right. You know, you just email a plan.
That's right. That does anything.
Anything.
What we decided to do is, so they won't know, we're going to soak our carry-on bag
right.
in this special chemical
right.
that if you drop it, it blows up.
Right.
Right.
And so no more carry-on bags.
It's
okay.
Like a really big snap and pop.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And when you think about it for a second, the other thing is, if you had even a regular old snap and pop, if you dropped it in the plane,
man.
What would happen? I mean,
the federal marshals would blast you.
Well, no, but I mean, you drop it at somebody else.
Right.
I mean, you don't do it yourself.
He did it.
Yeah.
Here's the guy.
Yeah. So anyway, so it will be long.
He's right in front of some Muslim dude. He's like, oh, great.
That is just what I needed today.
Just what I needed today. Really funny. You were a really funny guy, you know.
Yeah, that would be good. So anyway, but what I'm saying is that this also dovetails with something here that I read. Excuse me a second. In the paper today, there's a new Continental, of all things, has a new flight. It goes from Tampa to Sarasota.
You got to be kidding me.
From Tampa to Sarasota.
For those of you who don't know Florida geography, that's about 20 miles.
It's a little far. It's a 25-minute flight.
What?
It's a 25-minute.
Was it a pedal bike?
No, it is a...
It takes 10 minutes to take off and 10 minutes to land.
Right. It's a taxi.
5 minutes to fly there.
Right. No, that's right. And they fly 2,500 feet, and it's...
It's an hour and a half to go through the checkout.
That's right. You have to do it. It's a regular scheduled Continental flight. It's a 9-passenger Beechcraft, Twin Beach.
Sell your Continental stock today.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you about this. There's several things that occurred to me on this. Very interesting. Because you and I like to fly out of Gainesville here. Why? Because you can actually, even though they tell you to get there 2 hours early, you can get here 35 minutes early. Nobody ever flies out of here.
You can run out on the tarmac and beat on the door and get in.
That's exactly right. No, in fact, half the time the flights come in here and your bags, your checked bag, not your checked, but your carry-on bags, they've thrown them in the back because the plane is too small to carry your carry-on.
Right.
And so when you get off the plane, they huffle it out there on the tarmac and you pick it up. I mean, the point is that you can get here in Gainesville, you can get to the plane 5 minutes ahead of time. Mm-hmm. You can take a taxi out there.
Right.
You get there 30 minutes before flight time. You get on. You check. It's a fairly cursory check. And the people here at our airport authority, which are a bunch of dolts, are missing a bet because you can save yourself not only hours of driving time to Jacksonville, Orlando, or Tampa, but the snake lines, 40, 50, 60, 80 people long, and not the parking, no parking fee. I mean, you could save yourself $100 or $200, even though the tickets are $100 or $200 more. I would pay that dearly to fly out of Gainesville any day of the week. And people
just
and
for not having to do the shakedown.
Just the hassle, the shakedown, and the fact is when you get here, when you land your plane, you're not looking at a two-hour drive to come home.
Right.
I mean, you're calling a taxi cab, and for $20 you're sitting on your front porch.
Right.
So
Gainesville here, they don't care about a stick of dynamite.
You can buy it at the gift shop.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no problem.
Only Orlando, Atlanta.
No, that's right.
You want a solid sticker or in liquid form?
Do you need plastic or?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. No liquid blow-ups.
No. We have to stop that product line.
That's right. So anyway, the deal is that what I'm thinking about, though, is that this has to do, people don't understand how the market responds. They are here in Gainesville. They're always trying to bribe the airlines. They bribed Northwest to come in here for about 6 months where they took a bunch of taxpayer money and some other money. They bribed them to come in. They paid extra money for tickets. So they subsidized some tickets. As soon as that money ran out, boom, Northwest hoofed it. People don't understand that the market now is such a way that people will fly out of Gainesville for an extra $100, $200. Why? Because of the hassle factor. Now, this brings up to this thing I just talked about. The flight, you think, 25-minute flight takes you 4 hours, for God's sake. You can drive it in an hour from Tampa to Sarasota, if you know, down I-75. Why would you do? Well, it turns out there's a market for it. I don't know all the reasons. Like one guy, they're in this article, one guy in particular, you know why he did it? He flew down and flew back. Why? It turned out he needed the mileage.
Right.
It put him over some limit. It was worth $350 to fly down to Sarasota, get back on the plane and come back because he got, you know, he went over the million miles or whatever the hell it was.
Right.
And so now he gets, you know, he gets first class upgrade going to all over the world. I mean, but my point is there's a market for this. They go twice a day, I think, or something like that. It's a regular flight. And of course you get to sit in the co-pilot seat if you want to. There's no
hell, they'll let you fly.
No, they said you can sit in the co-pilot seat, but you're not allowed to touch the pedal or the wheel, apparently. It's my understanding. No, but I mean, you know, it's like the cockpit door is not even sealed.
Right.
There is
right.
no cockpit door.
Right.
And there's no bathroom.
Right.
There's no drinks.
Right.
No alcohol.
Right.
I mean, the whole flight is 25 minutes, but it takes you about 3 or 4 hours because they still require you to check in 2 hours ahead of time. Stupid. But my point is, the market would figure this out. This is what we talked about last time on the little jets.
Right.
When the little jets start taking off from grass strips out here, for God's sakes,
yep.
you can bet that the market will figure this out. That's our only hope on this outrageous TSA bullshit.
Right.
And so I'm looking forward to that. Anyway, that was good news this week. As far as I'm concerned about the dynamite in the bank.
Okay. All right, let's get into this Hitler restaurant.
Oh,
it's all about.
Now that was in India. That was, you know what? Now let me just tell you about that. As you know, they had a Hitler themed restaurant with all the
in India, in
New Delhi or whatever it was.
Hitler's Hideaway.
Hitler's Cross Restaurant.
Hitler's Cross Restaurant, and they had it was a motif. They had some burned Jews there and stuff like that, or what did they have?
No.
Did they cook their pizza in the ovens or what?
Oh,
well, whatever. Anyway, I don't know. No, they had, but the deal was they didn't quite get the message.
Right.
I did not realize
you
this.
You thought it'd be funny.
They thought it'd be funny, and apparently there was a complaint from the Jewish community.
No, really.
Hard to believe. Well, no. What amazed me, this is like in
they
New
didn't
Delhi.
Like
it was like in New Delhi, population 50 million.
They weren't right. serving kosher?
What? I don't know. I guess not. Well, they might have been serving kosher.
Right.
I mean, you know, but
all right, really. So he thought it was a
so
good
anyway,
idea.
So they took it down. They're changing the name. And I thought, boy, what a bunch of pussies. These guys, you know, they because it turns out that
tell us what you really think, Jimmy.
Yeah. The point is that there are, according to this article, there are 5,400 of the Jewish persuasion in all of India. 4,500 of them live in New Delhi.
Ooh.
And this is out of a population of billions.
Right.
I mean, it is literally, it is not a rounding error on a rounding error, the number of people we're talking about here.
But he's in New Delhi is where this restaurant is.
So what?
So he picked the wrong neighborhood. Is basically
well, that's true. He did.
Right.
He did pick. Well, we came up with some names that they want to change the name.
Yeah.
So what were the, what was it called?
EJ wrote in and he had a couple.
Well, they've already bought all the stuff.
Yeah, right? they've already bought the stuff. They got to stick it on eBay.
So they just can't.
They can't stick it on eBay.
And swastikas are an old Hindu symbol anyway.
Well, let me tell you, not only that, they are not only an old Hindu symbol. That's the thing that people don't realize. I mean, predates Hitler by a long shot. If you draw the bent cross backwards, it turns out it's an old Plains Indian symbol.
Yeah,
here in the States, that actually, you know, when Columbus or when they, you know, Lewis and Clark went, that's what they used. It's backwards.
Mm-hmm.
But so what?
All right.
So anyway.
So it's been around forever. Came up with some other names.
Well, E.T. wrote in a couple. I liked. He had Goebbels Place. Was nice. Or Himmler's Hideaway.
Himmler's Hideaway.
That was good.
That's like Hernando's Hideaway, the song from the 60s.
I think it should have been like Hitler's Kosher Deli.
That would have assuaged them.
Right.
Seems.
What do you think? I mean, you know, he was a vegetarian.
What are you going to close down?
Right.
You want to close down kosher food?
Right.
Yeah. That's right.
Hitler the Jew Killer's Kosher Deli.
I don't know.
something like
Jimmy
that.
At JimmyDoan.com.
That's right. That's Counsel Curtis at JimmyDoan.
That's right. Counsel Curtis at Jimmy. Did you? And then you had the good one.
I like mine.
Yeah. What was yours?
I forget. Read it.
Swastika Swami Seafood.
Yeah, that's right. Swastika Swami Seafood. Or just what I thought was really good. They had their logo tailor-made. If you just call it Swastika Swami,
mm-hmm.
that you use the SS, you know.
Right. Yeah.
You know, the little lightning jab. And then so the first one goes in front of Swastika,
right.
and the first one, the second one goes in front of Swami.
I think
perfect.
It's,
I mean, it's tailor-made.
Yeah.
So
excellent marketing.
I thought so, too. You know,
well, you know, it's amazing. Amazing that they think that this glorifies Hitler in some way. I mean, as if this is going to bring Hitler back to have a restaurant named after him in India.
How about the Hungry Hitler Hamburger Hut?
Yeah, I mean, he was a vegetarian, so you know he'd be offended.
He'd be offended.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And you can have, you could even have like a pinata that was in his effigy.
Yeah, you could beat the pinata.
That's right.
Right.
It's amazing to me. Like, they try to take out everything that could possibly be offensive.
Yeah.
And, like, the cartoon censorship that they did over there, they censored the Ben and Jerry. The,
the butts?
The, huh?
The butt, the cartoon
butts? Yeah, they took out the cigarette butts out of the Tom and Jerry cartoons.
Can you imagine? They are going through, what, frame by frame?
Right.
In England, in the UK. Oh, I say, what they're doing is they're going through frame by frame, and they're taking off the cigarettes from Tom and Jerry when they had a cigar or cigarette. And but I think for the bad guys, they're leaving the cigarettes in.
Yeah, they're doing it for not all of the cigarettes, but like they say, just when it glorifies cigarette smoking. As
right.
Though,
so he's gonna. So if he has a restorative cigar at the end of a successful chase, they're replacing that with bubble gum or what?
I mean, I guess you blow bubbles or something.
Yeah.
Hey, this is amazing to me. You know, like you could have we just had a blockbuster series of movies here, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Right.
You know, yo ho ho ho. A pirate's life for me.
Yeah.
And that doesn't glorify piracy.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. You know? Or I mean, the list goes on and on. We, you know, Robin Hood is a thief.
But he's a Brit thief.
He's a good thief.
Yeah, that's right. He steals from the rich and gives the poor, just like the government.
Yeah.
So what's different?
It's politically correct.
Yeah.
So they just need to get over it. You don't have the right not to be offended. You know, you have the right not to be injured.
Well, you do anymore. As you know, you can walk in there and say, I was offended, and you get the settlement. They'll pay. I mean, it's obscene.
All right, we got a couple more things.
Moving on. I did notice the only two things I had left were, one, was the boy who's in hot water ever saying meow. Did you all see that?
Yeah, no. I did see that.
That is, to me, Jeanette, Pennsylvania police charged a 14-year-old boy, which is with meowing, whenever he ever sees a 78-year-old neighbor.
And apparently he only did it twice.
Well, that's what he says. I don't care if he did it every second.
All right,
Jeanette district judge, Joseph DeMarcus, decided to wait 90 days before his ruling. He said his decision.
Well, we got to say that the reason he did this is because that neighbor made him get rid of his cat.
Right.
So
every time she's out in the yard or something, he just goes by and says, meow.
All right. So,
you know, and so they arrested him. They arrested him. He got hauled into court.
For harassment. Felony harassment.
No, I think it's a misdemeanor. Misdemeanor harassment.
I would hope so.
He's in court, for God's sake. 14-year-old kid, okay?
Man.
For saying meow.
If there was ever a case of sticks and stones may break my bones.
Well, the point is, and the judge, the wimp, wuss judge, Joseph DeMarcus, has said he's going to wait 90 days to see, based on how the boy and his neighbor get along in the meantime. I mean, what a pile of crap.
Now, instead of Matt, he's just going to say, bitch.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know, or else he'll just, or what he'll do is maybe just give her the finger.
Yeah.
You know, a silent
right.
Sign language thing.
Right.
It's silent. I'm signing.
Right.
You know, watch this.
Men in Black, where Will Smith goes like, you know, get that little finger.
Right, exactly. The finger on the forehead, uh-huh. Right?
It means very nice day.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's astounding to me. 14-year-old, when you're 14, you do mischief. You do stuff like that. And if you're 78 years old and you can't get over it, get over it.
Yeah.
That's a joke. And the last thing I had was, just real quick, Brigitte Bardot. And the only reason I mentioned this, Brigitte Bardot, and this is along the same lines in a way. There's a muzzle law. I didn't realize this. They passed a muzzle law, a little girl in the mineshaft type thing we've talked about. They passed a muzzle law on dogs that you walk in the park. And the reason was somebody's pit bull attacked a kid, you know, 6 months ago. So right away they passed a law. All dogs have to have a muzzle on. Of course, Brigitte Bardot is a big PETA person. She said her little Yorkie or whatever it is shouldn't have to have a muzzle on. She's upset. And she's right, I think. But I saw her picture.
Ooh. The time has not been kind?
Time has not been kind to Brigitte.
Well, she's 85.
Well, God, I'll tell you. I mean, I remember sneaking...
I'm just happy to be around.
I remember sneaking out of school in the 50s to go see And God Created Woman because we were forbidden. Forbidden, mind you. Went downtown to see it. It was the sex film. I mean, they show stuff more dangerous than that on regular you know, on regular...
On the school board channel.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, the school board channel is more than what that was back then. But anyway, as you said. But, I mean, that was... She was the only... You know, she was the total sex symbol for my class in that time. And what I thought is interesting is you just said... Time and gravity have not been sweet to Brigitte.
But you're still looking good, Jimmy.
Well, yeah. That's right.
Great show.
Yeah. Oh, don't forget, Hanger Dogs. Okay, so always say hello to those
dogs.
Yeah, guys, I like to get your little clip on there.
Yes. Yes. Council Curtis, they put you in there. And also, Stephen Molyneux, as I always like to say hello about him. I like his stuff. Some people, we did get some people that say they don't. Now, also Jimmy, by the way, will be responding. Personally, to emails. Now, let me tell you, you need to save these emails because as soon as the deluge of emails gets to be too many, Jimmy will not be able to personally respond as he does now.
Right.
So these are going to be collector's items, suitable for Big Bucks and Antiques Roadshow
or eBay.
Actual email from Jimmy. So,
Jimmy
at JimmyWhileYouCan.com. But when the deluge begins. Then I'll have to respond all months. But thanks for listening, and we'll see you.
Remember, that's dbag.
Yeah, thank you, Jack. Thank you, Jack.
I love you.
Yeah, so next time we'll be. That show will be in September. Thank you all for listening.
Yeah.
Tell your friends.
Please make CDs for.
We do. Yeah, we'll.
Tell both of them.
We've got some, and actually, we're gonna send out some presents here in the not too distant future.
Right.
We got some stuff here that we need to get rid of.
MP3 player you were going to give away.
We got this telephone.
Yes, it'll be done. Yeah, this telephone, right?
Telephone.
That was in the old days of the call-in show when nobody called in.
1430.
High Talk, yeah, that was great. Nobody called in. We had one call, I think, in 3 months. And that's because we were actually giving away cash.
Nobody needed to call because they agreed with everything we said.
Well, that's
true.
Which reminds me, that does bring up a point. Somebody once said that you get a 1,000 listeners for every phone call or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And I'm wondering how many listeners do we get per email? Because we must be up to
two.
Okay, so we're up to 10.
10 or 12 listeners.
No, we're up to 100.
Yeah.
Our bandwidth now we're doing well.
Yeah.
We're modest here at the Jimmy Dunn.
Well, we
appreciate all those listeners.
We appreciate everything.
It's just hard to believe.
I'm getting emails.
Keep those emails coming.
Yeah, we'll pass them along.
We appreciate it. Stay tuned.
That's right.
The Jimmy Dunn. Show.
Thanks again.
It's going to be the Jack Rhodes Show.
Yeah. Shut up.
Jack and Eric in the morning.
That's right.
There's Jimmy. He did.
Jimmy!
Alrighty, guys.
Bye-bye.
I think I'm going to roll a little Maynard Danny boy for the man.